We're in Luke chapter 8 this morning, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 21. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And then a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him. And he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some. As he sowed, some fell among the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. The devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for those in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. An older couple was sitting in their living room one night watching television, and the wife said to their husband, "I think I'm going to have some ice cream. Do you want any?" And so the older man said, "Yeah, I think I want some ice cream. Could you put a little chocolate syrup on that?" And the wife said, "Sure, I can do that." And then the husband said to his wife, he said, "Honey, you better write that down, because, you know, sometimes you've been forgetting lately, and you better write down, I want chocolate syrup on my ice cream." And the wife said, "That's silly. I don't need to write that down between here and the kitchen. I'm not going to forget that." And the husband said, "Honey, I think you better write it down." Well, the wife just ignored him. Well, about 20 minutes later, she comes back and she hands him a plate of scrambled eggs and sausage. And the husband said to her, "I told you should have wrote that down. I wanted bacon with my eggs." Well, there are times when we don't really communicate that well. We don't always connect with each other. And we can't blame it on forgetfulness or old age a lot of times. Sometimes it's just that we don't listen very well. James said, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Your mother may have told you, 'You have two ears and one mouth, and you should listen twice as much as you speak.'" Listening is something that most of us need to practice on, because most of us don't do it very well. Some of us do, but most of us don't. I used to think I was a good listener until I got married, but anyway, Sometimes we are so concerned with expressing ourselves that we don't listen to others as they seek to express themselves. We don't really hear what they say very well. And so we need to learn to be quick to listen. We need to learn to be quick to listen. We need to learn to hear what people say. And not only hear what they say, but hear the hurt or the anger or the joy behind their words. When James speaks about this, he's specifically speaking about hearing the Word of God, being in tune with the Word of God. We need to truly hear it so we can comprehend it and practice it. And as you read the book of James, James says, if we ultimately do not practice it, we deceive ourselves because we really didn't hear it in the first place. We need to learn to listen well. I think that's the theme to the passage we read in the Gospel of Luke. We need to learn to really be true hearers of the Word of God. What kind of listener are you to the Word of God that's before you? I think this passage of Scripture teaches us this truth that we need to make sure we seek to be a true hearer and a doer of God's Word. The Scripture tells us Jesus is going to the villages and cities and preaching the good news of the kingdom, the news of forgiveness and life and salvation that were found in Him, that the kingdom of God was there, and if they would believe in Jesus, they would be a part of that kingdom. The king was actually among them. And so he's traveling from village to village, from city to city, sharing this good news. His 12 apostles were with them, and the Scripture also says there were women who sustained and supported his ministry that were traveling with him. They sustained and supported his ministry out of their means. And he gives a list of some of these women. Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was one who was delivered from 7 demons. And later, she was the very first witness to the resurrection of Jesus. He mentions Joanna, the wife of an important official in Herod's household. He mentions Susanna. And if you read that, it's in all of these women's lives, from the ones who were like very high in the social ladder to Mary Magdalene, who was probably at the bottom because of her demon possession, Jesus had done miraculous things in their lives, and they were following him and they were learning from him. And so we read in Luke that they had a prominent place in Jesus's ministry. He invited them to be part of his ministry. He wanted them to hear, to understand, to apply his teachings, and to be his witnesses. Now, in that day, other rabbis would not even allow women to hear them teach. And Jesus did something radical, because women were the vital part in expanding his kingdom. And so the mention in Luke reminds us of that. Reminds us of that. Sometimes people accuse the Bible of being anti-woman, but really the New Testament and Jesus' ministry, the status of woman was elevated and prominent, and these women were a vital part of the ministry of Jesus. And so as they traveled about, Jesus preached, and the crowds were gathering to hear him. And so he began to teach them in parables. A parable is an earthly story that teaches a heavenly meaning, basically. It teaches a meaning about the kingdom of God. Jesus used stories to communicate his good news. And the stories were designed for two things. First of all, to help those who believe in him to follow him more closely. But they were also designed that those who refuse to believe should continue to be baffled by Jesus. You see, the truth of Scripture is one of God's judgments upon you if you will not believe the truth, if you refuse to believe the truth, is that you will be unable to comprehend the truth. If you refuse to believe the truth, you will believe lies, the Scripture says. If you don't accept the basis of who Jesus is, you're never going to be able to understand anything beyond that. And so Jesus was telling and teaching the people in parables. And so he told this parable about a farmer who went out to sow a seed. Some seed fell on the rocky path, and the paths were like, they would have these individual garden plots, you know, a little bit kind of like we have in Madison. But there were actually divisions between them. There were hard paths between each plot. And some of the seed fell on those hard paths, and the birds of the air devoured that seed, and the seed was not able to be implanted. He said some seed fell on the rocky soil. And there was a little bit of soil there. It was a shallow soil. And so the seed sprang up quickly, but because it had no real roots, it quickly withered away. He said some seed fell on the thorny ground. It got implanted, but it got implanted where there were weeds that grew up around it and with it, and the weeds choked it out so it never bore fruit. But then he said, some seed fell in the good soil and produced a bumper crop, a hundredfold. And then Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The disciples, when they were with Jesus by themselves, they asked him what this parable meant. And Jesus told them that they were going to be given insights that those who do not believe in him will not be given. If you believe, you are given more and more insights and to live out God's word. If you refuse to believe, you're going to grow more and more baffled. He then explained that the parable had to do with four kinds of listeners. Four kinds of listeners. And I think the theme of this passage, as I read it again and again, was what kind of listener are you? And in fact, he says, even in verse 18, take care then how you hear. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of listener to God's Word am I today? Are you an unprepared and hardened listener? Jesus said the seed, he explained the parable, he said the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God, and he was kind of like the sower, and he was scattering the Word of God, and it was being sown among them. And he said some of the seed that is sown, it's sown in the hard path. These are people who hear God's truth, but they're in no way prepared to receive it. They're like the path that's between the garden plots, hard, it's trampled upon. They cannot receive the seed, the Word of God, meant to be implanted in them. They hear it, but they don't really hear it, and so it can't be implanted in them. The ground is hard, and the Scripture says the devil, and notice that. You know, the devil's here to kill and steal and destroy. He's not interested in you believing and understanding God's Word. He wants to kill you. And he wants to kill those who don't know Jesus and keep them in death. And so it said that the devil comes and snatches it away so they cannot believe it and cannot be saved. And the progression's there. You hear it, you believe it, and you are saved. You hear it, you believe it, and are saved. But if the Word's not implanted in you, you can't be saved. It is immediately snatched from them. You see, if you're that kind of listener today, you need to ask God to help you to be a better listener, to soften your heart so that His truth might penetrate your mind and heart so that you can believe and be saved. You see, sometimes Satan has us so busy and satisfied, we don't even know we need a Savior. We don't know we need someone to rescue us from our sin. We don't know that we need the Word of God to change our lives. And so the first listener was an unprepared and hardened listener. Then you need to ask ourselves, okay, maybe that's not you. Are you a shallow listener? Are you a shallow listener? You heard the gospel and it sounds great. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I need help with my life. I want to follow a God who's able to answer my prayers and give me the things that I want. But somehow you only heard part of the truth. The truth of turning from our sin, denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Jesus. Somehow you didn't hear that part. And so immediately you receive it with joy, but then things start to happen that don't fit into what you thought you heard. And you start getting mad. You get mad at God. You think God, you know, deceived you. You think he promised you something he couldn't deliver on. Or maybe you get mad at the church because someone hurt your feelings and somehow overlooked you. And your focus is basically on yourself and on people and how they treat you instead of repenting of your sin and believing in Jesus and living your life for the glory of God. You see, we are called. Yes, we are called because God wants to save us and help us. But we are called to live for his glory and to follow him. It's a calling that we turn the focus of our life from ourselves to Jesus. And we seek to live for the glory of God. You see, Jesus doesn't tell you half-truths. He tells you the whole truth. But you got to pay attention to what he says. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. You miss that maybe. Maybe, you know, Jesus said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. The world hated me, and it will hate you. See, there are some hard things about the gospel. We don't want to give a half-truth about the gospel. Yes, God does answer our prayers, and he does respond to you. But he's not Santa Claus, he'll give you everything you want. Sometimes he won't give you things because he knows that they're not good for you. And sometimes he's doing a work in your life to make you more like Jesus, because the most important thing in life is not your comfort, but you being like Christ and glorifying him. So are you a shallow listener? Then are you a listener preoccupied with the worries of this life? The third kind of listener is one who hears the word of God, but life is so cluttered with the concerns of this life that the word of God is choked out and does not come to fruitfulness. The word is planted and it takes root, but there's a lot of other concerns in your life that are competing with it. Instead of the word being fruitful and receiving nurture from the soil, the word is choked out because the things of life, the weeds, the temporary things that are not eternal, the concern for riches and pleasures now, keep you from producing the desired eternal fruit. You're concerned with your retirement account and your investments and your pleasure and your stocks and all the stuff of this life. You know, the old song said, this world's not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's other shore, and I can't feel at home in the world anymore. Well, Joe Gregory said, he did a second verse, the world is not my home, I'm only passing through, but I got a few CDs and a Krugerrand or two. The angels beckon me from heaven's other shore, but let me see my broker just once more. I think that's the third kind of listener. Because see, is our investment in eternity. You know, sometimes when you choose eternity, you lose out on stuff in this life. Realize that? When you choose eternity, you lose out on stuff on this life. You might lose out on a promotion because you won't compromise your convictions at work. You might lose out on some other things. You might not be able to do some things because you're choosing eternity. You're choosing God's direction and God's will. And you say, I'm going to do it God's way even if it costs me because I'm living in light of eternity. Jesus said this, do not store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, Jesus said this, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Are you seeking first His kingdom and what He wants and what is eternal, what matters? You see, a lot of times we're like the man in Luke 12 who had bumper crops. And he says, man, I got all these crops. What am I going to do? And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll put all my extra crops in the bigger barns. And I will sit back and I will eat, drink, and be merry. That was the determination of his life. However, the scripture says, God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You see, there's more to life than this life. There's more to life than this life. And as we live in a hostile culture, we realize sometimes we're going to have to choose God's way and receive less stuff, less things. Are we investing in what's eternal, or are we a listener prepared? Are we a listener preoccupied with the worries of this life? And then finally, are you a listener today who is hearing well the Word of God and being deeply implanted, and it's being deeply implanted in you? The final listener is one who intently listening and seeking to hear God speak. God's Word is being deeply implanted in them and changing their life and bearing much fruit. You are hearing it well. You're lighting a lamp and you're spreading it all around. You're not afraid of something being hidden because your sins are forgiven. And whatever's hidden, it doesn't matter anyway because Jesus has forgiven those sins. You share the gospel, you share life, you share the life that you had even before you knew Jesus because He has made such a difference in you. You are listening and hearing well, and you are learning more of how to walk with God, and your life is bearing much fruit. You're not deceiving yourselves and worried about what you might lose because you know that what you gain is worth so much more than what you might lose. You're hearing God's Word well, and it's being deeply implanted in you. And you are in His family, and He's making a difference in your life. You know, as I read all this passage of Scripture together, and I basically take a whole chapter at a time and study the chapter in total before I try to figure out where I'm going to preach. But it's very interesting that the next thing that he talks about is Jesus' mother and brothers coming to him and wanting to see him. And Mark, or one of the other gospel writers, indicates they were worried about Jesus. They thought he was out of his mind, his physical family. And so they came to him. They wanted to see him. And Jesus said, your mother and your brothers are here. They want to see you. And Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see, his emphasis was on hearing and doing what God said. And his kin were not so much biological or national or racial, but Jesus' kin, those who were connected to Jesus, are those who hear and respond in faith to the truths of the Word of God, and this Word was being deeply implanted in them. You see, true family are those who hear Jesus and follow Him. You know, I think at different times in our lives, all of us can be characterized by different kinds of listeners. Sometimes I've been a hard listener, and I haven't heard what God has said to me. But other times I've listened to it, but I haven't really heard it. I've only heard what I wanted to hear about it. Sometimes I'm so preoccupied with the stuff of this life, and it's easy to get there, isn't it? That I'm not the fruitful Christian I need to be. But there are other times that God's work really soaks in. And that's the kind of hearer I want to be. I don't just want to hear God's word. I want to hear it with understanding, and I want to live it out. You see, God doesn't give you His Word just so you'll be an intellectual, knowledgeable Christian. He's not here. He doesn't give us His Word just so we can fill our minds with spiritual stuff. He wants our lives to change, right? He wants us to live for His glory. He wants it to make a difference. And it is the only thing that really will make a difference. The gospel of Jesus, Him coming into our lives and saving our souls and making us His own. He, by His power and the power of His Word deeply implanted us, can change us and make us new. What kind of hearer are you today? Are you an unprepared hearer? And the devil's stealing the Word of God from you? Are you a shallow hearer who thinks following Jesus will never be challenging or hard, and that Jesus is just there to give you everything you want instead of you becoming His so that your life might glorify His name? Are you a listener preoccupied with this life, and you are not living life in light of eternity, and your life is unfruitful? Or are you one that is listening intently, and God's Word is being deeply implanted in you, and your life is going to count for the kingdom of God and bear much fruit? That's the kind of listener I want to be. I pray that's the kind of listener that every one of you want to be. Let's pray together. God's spoken to you today, maybe. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Well, today's the day of salvation, the Scripture says. And if you've heard the Word of God, you've heard the Holy Spirit saying, believe in me, trust in me, stop living for the stuff of this life. Don't miss out on the life that I can give you if you will just believe. Put your trust in Christ today. Christian, are you tuning in to what God wants to say to you and how He wants to change you? Do you just read your Bible just to say you read it? Or are we reading it saying, God, change me. Make me like Jesus. Make my life fruitful for you and your kingdom. Father, we love you and we want to be like you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would increase that hunger and that desire in each person here. I pray that any here that, Lord, they're being deceived and the devil's wanting to snatch away the truths that Jesus will save if they will turn to Him even in this moment. He wants to kill and steal and destroy them. Lord, you want to give them life. Open eyes so that they will know that the life that they need, that they want, that is the only life worth living, is found only in you, Jesus. And I pray that they would call on you. I pray that they would be saved. I pray that you'd work in our lives. Draw us to yourself. Conform us to the image of your Son so that your name may be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.